some of the teaching so far, and one of the men last Sunday had mentioned this verse to me, and so I want to use this verse as really the foundation for our gathering at the Lord's table this morning. I want to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 1, and let me begin reading in verse 7, and I'll read down through verse number 10. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, here the apostle says, "For we have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on the earth in him." If you have the King James Version of the Bible, in verse number 10, it mentions the idea of, it mentions the administration of the days of fulfillment. It uses this word of dispensation, in the dispensation of the fullness of times. And I want to pick up that theme of dispensation, or as my translation here this morning uses, the idea of the administration of the times of fulfillment. And we're going to spend at least next Sunday, if it's the Lord's will, and we're going to go through that to kind of understand some of the nuances of it. But I just want to lay the groundwork, because this verse here provides a great opportunity for us to gather at the table of the Lord this morning and to observe his death, burial, and resurrection. So what does this mean in verse number 10, where the apostle says, "For the administration of the days of fulfillment," or your translation, if you have the King James, for the idea of the dispensation of time, the dispensation of time. The word here, by the way, let me give you another scripture that I can tie these together real quick. Same book, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 3:1, Ephesians 3:1, uses that word again. Ephesians 3:1, Paul said, "For this reason," he says, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, you have heard, haven't you, about the administration of God's grace that he gave to me for you, this mystery that was not made known. The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I briefly written above." So he uses the same word for the dispensation of the grace. So when we think about the idea of dispensation of grace or the dispensation of times, let me begin to kind of teach us through some of these ideas or concepts or words here for just the next few moments as we can lead around the Lord's table. So the word here that is translated as the administration of time or the dispensation of time, it has the concept and the ideas of really an owner of a house who gives responsibility to an administrator or to someone that is a steward. And so you have someone who owns the house, and the owner of the house says, "Here, I'm going to give you responsibility. This is your responsibility, and I'm going to hold you responsible for the things that I want you to do in my household." So we have in other parts of our New Testament the idea of stewardship, the idea of a steward, is the understanding that a steward then is responsible to do what the owner of the house says. Now, to make things a little simpler here, what we need to realize is that God is the owner of all, right? No question about it. That he is the one who spoke the world into existence, and he created the world, and so he's the one who can choose to administer his ways then in the world. So what are the purposes of God? What does God want in his world? So whatever the purposes of God, he comes along and he calls us into a relationship with himself, and it is there where he gives us a revelation, or he gives us some scriptures to live by, and he says, "Now this is your responsibility to do what I have told you to do." And so we become stewards, or we become, my translation uses the idea of administrators. We're going to administer the purposes of God in his world, and he is going to hold us responsible for that. So what I want to do is to kind of give us the introduction to a study that will follow in the next week, if it's the Lord's will and so forth. But I want to go back and survey real quickly some of the great dispensations throughout the Bible. There are many different dispensations throughout the Bible, and some of the great dispensations of the Bible, God tells the people that are on his world that he is the owner of the house, and he comes along and he calls certain individuals to be stewards, that we have the responsibility to administer whatever God wants. And what we want to do is to be found faithful in that. But I would argue that today we're going to gather at the Lord's table, and it is our responsibility, as it has been now for nearly 2,000 years, to take the gospel and to preach it to the world. That is our responsibility. Friends, if you were here last Sunday, I spoke about the gospel. If you're here next Sunday, I'm going to speak to you about the gospel. If we're here next month, the month after, the year after, friends, that message has never changed. It will never change until there comes a point where God then intervenes into his world and he changes what he wants to do. God has a right to change the administration, to change then the his purposes that are in his world. Let me go back through some of them in the Old Testament for just a moment. If you want to read along with me, I'm going to survey some of these passages, but I want to go all the way back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Now here we find that, remember that God is the owner. God owns it all. Whether that was in Genesis 1 or whether it is in 2021, right? God is the owner of all of it, right? So it doesn't matter whether it's COVID or whether it's the beginning of the world, that here he is the owner of all. He owns the world. He owns the house. And yet we have a responsibility. So the very first human beings we know is Adam and Eve. And by the way, you'll notice with me in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27, God says something. So God created man in his image, and he created him in the image of God, and he created them male and female. God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. And he goes on and talks about ruling over the fish and the birds and all of the having the dominion after all that he had made. So here is the God who is the creator. And as God is creator, what he does is he comes along and he has selected Adam and Eve then to be stewards in his house. And Adam and Eve had a responsibility to do exactly what God wanted them to do. And what did God want them to do? Well, it's piecing these things together. God, first of all, told them, look, subdue the earth, rule over the earth, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That was God telling the stewards, Adam and Eve, exactly what he wanted them to do. And then we come up into chapter 2 of Genesis, and we find very clearly that God gave them some more revelation. And yet God came along, and we find that in the case of God and Adam and Eve, there was a direct communication between God and his creatures, right? The Bible says it was in the cool of the day that God would come and he would visit with Adam and Eve. And so they had a very direct communication between God and his stewards. Adam and Eve were stewards. They had the responsibility to carry out the purpose of God exactly the way God intended and exactly the way God wanted. And then God comes along in chapter 2 and he says, look, Adam and Eve, you're in a garden and you're free to eat of any fruit in this garden. But he said, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat that fruit, right? Very clear. And so all Adam and Eve had to do in this direct communication with God is to do exactly what God said, to follow what the owner of the house said. The owner of the house, God said to the original stewards is, do what I tell you to do, and you're going to have so much abundance and so much goodness. Well, like every little purpose of God or every little dispensation of God, that toward the end of that dispensation, we find that humans are those stewards who are responsible, that they have the tendency to rebel. And Adam and Eve then chose to rebel against the very direct commandment of God when God said, you're free to eat of any of this fruit except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible says very clearly that there came the day when Adam and Eve rebelled. They ate the fruit that God told them not to eat of, and it was there where God's judgment then fell upon those stewards. So what happened? Well, we know the story, right? We've been there a thousand times, and it is the moment when Adam and Eve sinned that their eyes were open, and all of a sudden they looked upon each other, and they had shame and guilt, and then they go out, and they try to cover up their nakedness and so forth. But yet the Lord God, the owner of the house, had to come along, and he had to show the stewards exactly what he wanted next. So what happens when man sins? What happens when we sin? Well, God showed Adam and Eve exactly what he was going to do. And what God was going to do is that he came along and he took an animal and he sacrificed that animal and he made a covering for Adam and Eve's sin. Are you with me? Friends, that has never changed. We're gathering today at the table of the Lord. And even though God's purposes, his dispensations of time have changed down through the corridors of time, what has not changed is the principle that God, who is the owner of the house, had laid down in the very beginning. And that is the concept that there is a substitutionary atoning sacrifice that has been made then for the sins of so many of the world, right? That has never changed. And it is modeled then in the life of Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden. Are you with me? So we have that dispensation that when man rebelled, when Adam and Eve rebelled, then what God did is that he came over and he instituted something else beginning in chapter 4 of the book of Genesis. Now, again, what I'm doing is just kind of laying the groundwork here. We'll come back and we're going to study this in a little bit more in depth. But I want you to see something here in Genesis chapter 4. Notice with me in verse number 1. There Moses is giving us this record, and it says that Adam was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And then you can continue reading that. By the way, that purpose of Genesis chapter 1 that God gave to his stewards when he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Friends, that purpose never changed. Even though the way God would interact with his stewards changed, no longer did God come in the cool of the day and interact with Adam and Eve. That changed. And friends, God doesn't directly relate to us today. That has changed. But what hasn't changed is the purpose of the owner of the house telling those stewards and telling those inhabitants of the earth to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. That has always been in the plan and the heart of God. Same chapter, Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 17. Notice here it says that Cain was intimate with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. So again, we can just simply see that God then is, or his work, his purpose of populating the earth then is coming about. Now there's something that does happen in chapter 6 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, notice it says that when mankind began to multiply on the earth and daughters then were born to him. Now, notice here that something bad is going on. So we went from Adam and Eve, and God came along and told them exactly what he expected of them, and they were to be stewards of that. They sinned, they rebelled. God changed what he was doing. The same thing is now from the time of Adam and Eve all the way down to the time of Noah. The Bible says that the earth was multiplying, that the purpose of the owner of the house, the owner of the world, his purpose was being completed. But as man began to grow, so did sin, so did rebellion. Right? You can read on in this passage, for example, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says that when the Lord saw man's wickedness and widespread on the earth, and that every scheme in his mind and thought was nothing but evil all the time, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And then the Bible says that God is coming along, and now he's going to judge them for their sin. Are you with me? So God does something, and that purpose then is being carried out the way God intends it to do. But there comes a point where mankind rebels so much that God changes what he's doing, and he brings in a new stewardship. So we know the story. By the way, this never changes either. If you're there in Genesis chapter 6, if you drop down to verse number 8, Genesis 6, 8, the Bible says that, however, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Friends, let me tell you that it doesn't matter how sinful the sinful world is, that there's always individuals that God looks down and he finds grace in their sight. There's always a remnant of people. I don't care how sinful we are today. I don't care how far we have gotten out in left or right field, that there is always the remnant that is chosen by the grace of God. And that is his purpose, whether it was from Adam's generation, whether it was in the time of Noah, or whether it is in our time today, there is always a remnant that is chosen by God's amazing grace. So friends, we know what happened, right? What happened? Well, God came and he wiped the earth clean and he started over. Look with me for just a moment there in Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 and drop down to verse number 5. And here in Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 5, what we find is that the flood is over. And so God has come to reckon with the people and so forth. Noah, his sons, and their wives, they get off of the ark. And now then, God says simply in verse chapter 9 and verse number 6, the Lord God says, whoever sheds man's blood, his blood will be shed by man. For God made man then in his own image. So what do we find here? That here God then is giving some new responsibilities. Here the owner of the house is coming along, and what he's doing is that he's choosing to administer his presence then in a new way. And the newness here simply comes about in the understanding that he has put man in charge of taking the life of another man who is then guilty of murder. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood will be shed. Now, friends, this is a great argument for capital punishment. And what we find is that from this moment on, God then, the administrator, the one who owns the house, then has had stewards all the way down to where we are today. And we have then in the total government of God, then that idea of justice that has been prevailed. Well, I want to save some time for the Lord's Supper. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump all the way over. If you're following with me in the scripture, turn all the way over with me for just a moment to the gospel according to Matthew. We'll come back next Sunday, and we will look at the dispensation of the law that was given to Moses and so forth on Mount Sinai. So we come all the way over to Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew 27, verse 45, we come now to the end of the Mosaic Law. The end of the Mosaic Law. Matthew 27 and verse number 45. The scripture says, Matthew records for us here in Matthew 27, 45. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. And about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Eli, 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 lei me sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those standing there heard him say this, and they said, look, he's calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with sour wine and fixed it on a reed and offered him a drink. But the rest said, let's see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus shouted again with a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit. And suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was split in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks then were split. Friends, I want to draw your attention for just a moment to that idea of exactly what happened the moment that Jesus died. The Bible says, and the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. That curtain was a symbol of the difference between entering into the holy place by the priest daily and then entering behind the curtain to the Holy of Holies once every year. So the moment that Jesus died, then friends, that law, that dispensation that was given to Moses upon Mount Sinai that was carried out for hundreds and hundreds of years to the Jewish nation, then friends, the Jewish nation then rebelled and rejected their Messiah. And when the Jewish people rebelled and rejected the Messiah, then God stopped that dispensation. That dispensation of the law came to an end. And what the Lord then is going to do is that he's going to introduce a brand new dispensation to the world. And now nearly for 2,000 years, that Christian people, that we have been involved in the preaching and the teaching of the gospel, that it is our responsibility as the stewards of God to take the word of God and the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And friends, that good news never changes. As we gather at the Lord's table today, we are reminded of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And friends, just like all of the other dispensations in the past, this dispensation of what we know as the church age or the preaching of the gospel will come to an end. Just like all of the other dispensations of time have had a time of rebellion. Just like Adam and Eve rebelled and they sinned. And just like it was in the times of Noah, the world rebelled, right? And God closed that and called new administrators and new stewards to administer his justice and his purposes. So it is true with our dispensation as well. Friends, I'm of the opinion that it won't be long before what we know here as the church will too come to an end. Friends, it's not the end of the world, but it is the close of this administration. Paul mentions over in Ephesians chapter 1, the administration of the fullness of time. Friends, the Lord then has all of these times and all of these seasons that are worked out for his own honor and glory. Friends, we're privileged today to gather at the Lord's table. We're privileged here to be reminded of the fact that Jesus, remember, that he was the one who paid the ransom for us, that we can truly be redeemed by his blood, through his blood, and we can rejoice in him. And friends, what great celebration that is as we are gathered here at the Lord's table this morning. I'd like for us to bow our heads for just a few moments. And we're going to allow the Holy Spirit of God to search our minds and hearts and to prepare us for the elements this morning of the Lord's Supper. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to bow in prayer and to think about, Lord, our sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, you tell us that if we confess our sin, that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that from the positional standpoint, that we are your children, that we are saints, and Lord, that Jesus took our place upon the cross of Calvary, that he died, and Lord, we're free. But Lord, I walk in sin every day, and Lord, I want your Spirit to come, and Lord, take my sin away now as I gather here at your table and to partake of the elements, the bread, the juice that we'll have today to remind us the fact of where our hope is, and Lord, what the meaning, the purpose of this life is all about. And that is truly in the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray on behalf of all the others that are gathered here as well, that your Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance those things that we're struggling with, those sins that we need to confess and repent of, and that our hearts can be open, and this could be a moment of worship and adoration for who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. Bless us now as we gather here at the table. In Jesus' name, amen. If our deacons could come forward to serve this morning. Brad, would you come? In Luke chapter 16, our word in stewardship is used. And this is a warning from the Lord as he says this parable. He said this to his disciples. There was a rich man who received an accusation that his manager was squandering his possessions. And so he called the manager in and he asked, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you can no longer be my manager." And what a warning that is. He's speaking to the nation of Israel that they were losing their place to administer the purposes of God in the world. Friends, he's moved away from Israel. He's moved to the church. Friends, may we think about the fact that we are stewards, that we are administrators of the grace of God until he comes in the rapture. Let us be mindful today that Jesus shed his body. He gave his body for us. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." in the book of Genesis, the first thing that God did with Adam and Eve when he came and dealt with them and their sin was that he killed an animal, right? He took an animal and shed his blood. When we find the first thing that Noah did when he got off the ark was he built an altar to God and shed the blood. We find that Abraham, when he was called to leave his father's family, that he built altars along the way and he shed blood. We find clearly that nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came, left heaven, came into this world. Why? To give us the good news of the gospel, that he would shed his blood, that he would give his life for us. Friends, we want to understand how important that is, not only for us personally, but for us as a church, that we always preach the gospel, that we don't, the Lord, when he looks at us, that we're good stewards, that we're good managers of the good news of salvation to a lost and dying world. May we never forget that until the Lord comes back. It is our responsibility to take something so simple as unleavened bread and juice and to proclaim the message of salvation until he comes back again. Jesus said to his disciples then, and we say it to us today, Jesus said, "This is my blood that was shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Pray for us.
Dear Lord, we come to you this morning humbly. And Father, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you this morning. And Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, may we remember the sacrifices made by our military men and women to keep our nation free. And may we be mindful also, Father, of the sacrifices that you made so that we might have eternal life and be forever free. Lord, may we be good stewards of all our resources that you've blessed us with. And may we honor you with every thought, every action, every word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mr. Larry Bosch, would you come forward, please? Larry wants to share with us a closing comment and a testimony of what God is doing in his life. And when Larry gets done, then we're gonna go out, Terry, with a hymn of praise. We'll all stand and we'll give God a hymn of praise when we leave. Larry, come right on.
Thank all of y'all for your thoughts and prayers. If you don't know, my heart was non-existent as far as function a month or so ago. So they went in to take care of it, and lo and behold, it took care of itself. The artery created its own channel. So I didn't need a bypass or anything else. The past couple weeks, I've been dealing with lung cancer. I know, big surprise, right? But anyway, they took me in. They said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do." Says it's small enough, we're going to take care of it. No chemo, no that other bad stuff. Radiation. So went in and they got it all. So I'm good to go, I guess. But I want to thank each and every one of y'all for your thoughts and your prayers over the past few weeks and months. Thank you again very much.
Let's have a prayer for Larry. Father, we do thank you for the great testimony this morning that as Larry has come to share his heart with us. And Lord, again, we look to Jesus and we know that all of these blessings come from you. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Not only did he die, but he was buried and then he was resurrected. And Lord, thank you that you've called us to be stewards of that and to take that message to the ends of the earth. Continue to bless our church family. Undergird us and help us in all that you have for us. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, this morning? The Bible tells us that Jesus with his disciples in the upper room, that when they took the last Passover meal and the first Lord's Supper, The Bible says that they left there singing a hymn.